Looking to hear your favorite recording artist on vinyl? Don't get fleeced by that hipster record store. Check out Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robaswebsite.com/Amazon. Or for our friends in Canada, it's robaswebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with another Survivor exit interview after episode number 3 of Survivor, Millennials versus Gen Xers. And this morning, we're going to be speaking with Paul Wachter, the latest person to be voted out of Survivor, Millennials versus Gen X. And it was a Gen Xer who took the fall last night. And Jeff said, whether you're a millennial or a Gen Xer, a blindside is still a blindside. And we'll talk with Paul about his take on all of that. Licking my wounds still a little bit after a tough loss for my Mets. But this is when I can really say thank God for reality TV, where I can really just throw myself into my work here and not have to think about that for the next couple of days. Of course, we had our Survivor Know-It-Alls last night with Stephen Fishback. Great day coming up here on the podcast. Otis Bushkauskas is going to be joining us here in the studio. We should have some video up of that as well on our YouTube channel, so be on the lookout for that. And then get your voicemails in for my voicemail feedback show with Haley Strong coming up. Send them in to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP, and make sure you don't miss any of it when you subscribe to Rob as a podcast in the iTunes store. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, and we do appreciate your feedback and star ratings there. All right, it looks like we do have our exit interview on the line. Paul, are you there?
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Oh, trying to duck out between these clouds right now. We've got this hurricane bearing down on us, and luckily it's north of us, but all these little outer bands are going to give us a little bit of a spanking.
Yes, and you said last night on the show, red skies in the morning, sailors take warning.
That's right. Red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky in morning, sailors take warning. That's right. That's an old nautical phrase that has been around for centuries.
And I thought it was a great metaphor for how that game was going to end up going for you in last night's episode.
Sure did. I had a red sky that morning, apparently.
Yeah. Now, in the episode last night, Paul, we saw where you had this conversation with Jess, and it seems like everything was going fine, and she was concerned about the guys getting together, and you reassured her, and you happened to say the phrase that, like, hey, just so you know, if the guys get together, I'll let you know that the women, hey, you're going to be on your own. Now, did she interpret that the wrong way?
Yeah, she, you know, she's very paranoid, and an extreme player. I would like to, you know, call her an extreme player, because every little thing, you know, she worried about. She was always trying to get 40 steps ahead on day one, and which is great. I mean, you know, she's a great player and she loves the game like all of us, but I thought she was, you know, she just worried too much about things we didn't need to worry about. Some things seemed very obvious to me. So between, and I used to talk with her, you don't get to see, but we would talk about it. I'd say, you know, you probably think I'm too calm about this. Well, you're too extreme about this. So somewhere in the middle, we're going to make this work. Because she was in the alliance. So we had me and Chris and Brett and Lucy and Sunday and Jess. And everything, there was absolutely no reason to do what we did, other than I think Jessica's paranoia probably got the best of her. And she went, you know, maybe he's going to vote us all out, or they're going to get a boys' alliance. But really what I was trying to convey, which I obviously did not, was later on in the game, if it became a boys and girls thing, I thought we would all stick together, not just the boys or just the girls, just the crew, you know, our alliance, our Gen Xers, just to make it to the merge. Mm-hmm. Now, we needed to make it to the merge. There was no reason to do anything silly until we, you know, until we had to start making decisions that would move us either way. The only thing we knew for sure was that David had an idol. That was all we knew. So, mm-hmm. But we were 99% sure he had an idol.
Why were you so sure that David had an idol?
Because that's all he ever did. From the minute we got to the island, you know, you see him making fire, but that was like, you know, 2 seconds of him trying with a flint. Most of the time he was out, you know, he got himself in a lot of trouble right away, mm-hmm. because the first day he took off going, look, you know, everybody was gathering stuff and, you know, we're trying to get the camp ready. And David was out looking for, idols immediately.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's his nature.
Yeah, what was your opinion of him? Because you did, at least to start off, speak highly of him to the millennials, but it was a little bit of a backhanded compliment that you were giving him to the millennials.
Well, if it seemed backhanded, it shouldn't have. I mean, David is probably one of the most interesting guys I've ever met. He's a guy that, that whether it was genuine or not, had me fooled that he was a super underdog as far as being a survivalist. You know, he was, intimidated by every noise and every bump and every, you know, anything that you gave him, he would immediately say, I've never done this before. I've never tried this before. I can't do it. Or, you know, when we jumped off that big, challenge in the ocean, I was the one, I was kneeling on the dock because the guy doesn't swim that great. And I was telling him, you know, swim to me. And he told me, he goes, Paul, you know, I'm so happy that you coached me over to the thing because I had my eyes closed. What I didn't see was that on the backside of that, he was constantly trying to play the game at warp speed. And, you know, to his credit, he's still there and I'm not. So I really do think the guy's an awesome guy and by far the most interesting guy that I met out there. Person.
Headed into the tribal council last night, did you have any suspicion that it was going to be you or was it a complete blindside?
Complete blindside. No idea whatsoever. Neither did Chris, neither did Brett. Nobody knew. Unnecessary blindside, completely unnecessary. But, you know, to their credit, they're there and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
It was my own fault, my big mouth. I mean, I said something I shouldn't have said. And, story of my life.
Now, we saw in the episode, Ken was seemingly a little either competitive or felt like that he could do a better job than you with the fishing. Were you feeling that while you were out there?
It really doesn't show what happened. No, not at all. I caught fish, Chris caught fish, Brett caught fish, Ken caught fish. While we were playing the game, Ken did a lot more, disappearing, scouring, whatever he was doing, you know, but, he was, he's got some outstanding survival skills and he brought those all to the game, but more than once we tried to get him to join the alliance. Chris tried to talk to him. I tried to talk to him. Brett tried to talk to him. He had no desire to talk about it. I know he wanted to be in the game and play the game, but he just didn't seem to talk to us about it. And later, you know, after watching the show, I see that he talked to the girls about it. He just didn't talk to us about it. So I never had any animosity towards Ken. We had some great conversations. It looked like we had a very competitive thing going on, but my frustrations with Ken were just trying to get him to join the team. And I couldn't, no matter what I did, you know, I guess I shot myself in the foot.
So who were your tightest allies out there? Was it Jess or was it the guys in Brett and Chris?
Chris, in order, it was Chris and Brett together.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica, you know, Jessica and I, what you don't see was we had a lot of great conversations and we were very, very tight. And I had no idea she was an attorney. Okay. She told us she was a photographer. and I believed it, but which I shouldn't have, but, the only one I was suspicious about was Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she just seemed to be sometimes with me, sometimes not. She wasn't always willing to talk, you know, directly. So sometimes I wasn't, you know, 100% sure she was with us. But, you know, she seemed to say she was. So I kind of took her at her word.
Paul, how scary was that medical incident from last week?
On a scale of 1 to 10, it was a 15.
15, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I don't go down. I don't get sick. I don't, it doesn't happen to me. And so when that happened, it was very real. I was extremely dehydrated. You know, now we know it was heat exhaustion and dehydration. But it was an absolutely, for a few minutes there, I hate to use the word terrifying, but there was a point where it was really spooky when you kind of go down and you're very disoriented and you're not really sure what's happening and you don't know how long it's been and you kind of lose a little time and you look up and the first person you see is Joe. And, you know, Joe's the doctor that you see on TV. And last year they had him, you know, the same situation. He's laying there and the guy gets really sick. Caleb got really sick. So, you know, all those things are running through your head. But the other side of that was, you know, seeing Jeff Probst there immediately. I mean, they were there so quickly and, you know, we weren't a challenge. We were awful. You know, we were at a remote island in the middle of nowhere. So, it happened, you know, for them to get there that quickly just goes to show, it's a credit to the show, how seriously they take any situation with anyone, I knew immediately once I had Joe, you know, looking at me that I was going to be okay. I could start to relax.
Paul, can you talk a little bit about how the summit went in your mind in terms of being there? And did you have any idea that David was talking to the millennials about the things that he was saying in the episode about how he couldn't wait to join up with them and vote off the Gen Xers?
You never really knew what David was talking about with anybody because he was so paranoid about everything that, you know, when he talked to me, he talked the same way. I'll kind of do whatever we got to do to get this done. And, you know, everything was, you know, scramble last minute. I was anxious to meet the millennials. I was really glad I got to meet them. They were all awesome kids. You know, the showmans that they called it was very obvious as soon as we met them and, mm-hmm. and they all talked about it openly. So we knew what was going on. I wasn't concerned about what was going on back at the beach because I pretty much knew that we had our alliance put together. So for me, it was probably me being, you know, stupid. I was very relaxed. I enjoyed the whole thing. I enjoyed getting some food in me and meeting all the kids and having a great time and having them ask me a million questions about Survivor. And, I got to play dad a little bit, which was good. I missed my kids.
Now, going back to the first vote that you guys went to, we saw that you had a little bit of friction with Rachel when you guys were digging mm-hmm. the hole to set up the camp. Could you speak a little bit about why Rachel was the first person who got voted out?
Rachel was just really excited, you know, in the beginning. And she was, you know, if they portrayed me to be bossy, Rachel was really really quick to point fingers at people. She went after Sunday right away. She went after me. She went after. So what you saw on TV was just that one thing that happened with me. You know, when you first get started in the show, Rachel's a super person. You know, she's got a great personality and, but she was really trying to win the game. Like on the first day, mm-hmm. what it felt like. And, you know, you talk about me speaking my mind. That young lady speaks her mind. As soon as, you know, if she thinks that something's going on, she's going to tell you immediately. And if she's not sure you heard it, she's going to tell you again. So, you know, that was a unanimous vote on Rachel just because she was probably the squeakiest wheel at the time.
And then I know you said last night that you don't text a lot. Have you been texting more since Survivor? And if so, are you using the letter U more than the word U?
No, I am texting more. It's funny because you know what? People started texting me because of that, mm-hmm. like the C,
yeah.
you know, and it's really funny, you know, I mean, but no, I still use the word you because that's the word, yeah. you know, you is not a word. You is a letter, you know? No, I'm not texting a t-shirt.
Real quick, how did you end up on Survivor? It doesn't seem like this is something that would come up naturally for you. So I'd love to know just how you got involved with the show.
Well, it was a really awesome situation. Years ago, down here in the Keys, I do some treasure hunting. And there were some producers that came down that wanted to talk to shoot a sizzle thing on treasure hunting. I called it a sizzle reel. Mm-hmm. And so we played with cameras on my bigger boats for a couple of days and it never went anywhere and we forgot all about it. But the one thing that did happen was they were kind of directing things. And I told the people that were running it, the producers who were very young, I said, you know, if you did it like they do it on Survivor, you wouldn't have to worry about this. You could just let it play out. You know, you don't have to direct it. Just do it for real. And, you know, let it go. Because that's why people watch that show, because that show is awesome. Well, years later, one of the girls went to work for him and called me up and said, hey, you still, you know, you still a big fan? I said, yeah. And that's how it went. I mean, from there, I got an email. From there, I got a, you know, are you still in the band? Do you still have the hair? And then I went through the basically the same thing that every contestant goes through. I sent in the video and we went from there.
All right, Paul. Well, thank you so much for coming on with us. Please, you know, be safe during the storm.
Thank you so much.
You know, hope to hear from you again in the future, Paul. All the best.
Absolutely. I appreciate the interview. Have a great day.
All right. Take care, Paul. Bye.
Bye.
Everybody, there you have it. There's Paul Wachter here on the show. And I had said last night I thought he was going to be salty. Did not sound very salty at all. I mean, that's pretty good for an exit interview. So good job there by Paul. All right. Let's switch gears to a man who is never salty. He is the host of America's most popular new quiz show this week in Survivor history. The quiz, Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob. Wow, we've already reached that level. Most popular game show in America. That's amazing.
Yes, yes. Also, the front man of a Paul Wachter band, cover band.
Yes, Jordan and the Wachters.
Yes. You cover all the songs that Paul plays, right?
Yeah, of course. Like, our best song is probably Head of the Six.
Sure, sure. Anyway, Jordan, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Had a good week. Had a fun time watching the episode last night. I did have Paul in one of my Survivor fantasy leagues, but what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Not good. Not good. Anyway, so here we are getting ready to get into this week in Survivor history, the quiz, talking about all different questions of things that happened on this very week in the history of the TV show Survivor. But first, let me thank our sponsor for the Exit Interview podcast. And we got a new sponsor today, Jordan. Movement Watches. Movement Watches, that they are super stylish watches that even millennials can afford. Movement Watches, Jordan. They were started by two broke college kids, just like these millennials. And they wanted to wear stylish watches, but they couldn't afford them. And it's because the system was broken. And so they decided to disrupt the watch industry. That's just like how we started this podcast.
Exactly. There's nothing talking about the old episodes of Survivor, so we had to step in, and it's good that these watchmakers were able to stop their macking for a few minutes and make some watches.
Yes. The Movement Watches start at just $95. At a department store, you're looking for over $400 to $500. Movement figured out that they could sell online to be able to cut out the jewelry store middleman with classic design and quality construction and stylized minimalism. I like that. That's like
it.
Try to go for that.
Exactly. There's no way Uncle Leo is finding one of these in the garbage.
Absolutely not. Over 500,000 watches are sold in over 160 countries. So go ahead, check out to see if a Movement watch is for you. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMTwatches.com/RHAP. MVMTwatches.com/RHAP. I'll put a link up on robinsthewebsite.com. All the watches have a very clean design. So it's time to step up your watch game, Gen Xers and millennials. Go to MVMTwatches.com/RHAP. Join the movement. All right,
yes.
Jordan.
Talking about watch game, did you watch that Met game last night?
Come on. Look.
It was there. Low-hanging fruit.
Was it? Stop. Okay. All right. Look, I got to get back on my winning streak here. We got one win in a row, right?
Yeah, you have one win. You lost the first week. You won the second week. People are still have been tweeting all week, hashtag I beat Rob or hashtag Rob beat me. There were a lot of Rob beat me's this episode, including Sue DiMartino, Gregory Bean. You beat Fuggy Bootenling this week, so great job last week on the quiz.
Good. And this isn't like the stupid wild card, like, oh, let's just play one game for everything. It's just one time and then it'll count for everything.
No, this is every week. And trust me, I don't like that wild card game either.
It's so stupid.
I was at that Yankees Astros game. It was terrible.
So stupid.
I'm still salty about it.
Yes. It should be 10 games.
It should be 10 games.
Yeah.
best of 20, or I guess best of 21. You can't really do best of an even number.
What it should be is the season series. They should just refer to that and then just say they don't even need the wild card game.
Yeah, maybe just have the teams with the best records in the American League and National League go to the World Series. That's such a millennial new idea.
And if there's a tie, then just defer to the season series. All right, Jordan, let's go into our quiz for this week. All right, where do you want to start?
We're going to start with Survivor Guatemala. This is the episode called To Betray or Not to Betray from October 6, 2005. That's 11 years ago today. Long time ago.
Pre-merge Survivor Guatemala. Anytime we could get into talking about that, that's right where I want to be.
Oh yeah, you love the Guatemala pre-merge. So the first question that I'm going to ask you about this episode. So 1 year ago.
Yes.
1 year ago on this week in Survivor history.
you're cracking yourself up.
You're cracking me up.
Okay.
Question number one. 1 year ago on this week in Survivor history, we spoke about the tribe swap that occurred in this episode. Which pair did not end up on the same tribe after the swap? A, Cindy and Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
B, Lydia and Bobby John. C, Brian and Blake. D, Amy and Gary.
It's that fishmonger. She's not on the tribe with
Bobby John
now.
Bobby John. You know. So you're saying Lydia and Bobby John. Rob, you are correct, and we haven't even mentioned any of your items that you get to use. You can make any of these one-point questions a two-point question, or you can use a 50-50, which I will take away two questions from the multiple choice. But you didn't have to use it there. Great job. Lydia and Bobby John were not on the same time, on the same tribe. Lydia got swapped to Nakum. Bobby John got swapped to Yashak. Good start. Question number two.
Fishmonger was off with Stephanie doing the pancake. Bobby John was off with Danny.
Yeah, she's the queen of rock and roll.
The queen of rock and roll. That's right.
Question number two. So now we have these SWAT tribes. The new 8-person Nakum tribe went to tribal council in this episode. Which original Nakum voted with the 4 original Yashas, breaking what would have been a 4-4 tie? A, Judge Sargent. B, Brooke Struck. C, Margaret Babanovich. D, Cindy Hall.
Okay. Can you repeat the question one more time?
Yes. The new 8-person Nakum tribe went to tribal council in this episode. Which original Nakum voted with the 4 original Yashas, breaking what would have been a 4-4 tie? Was it Judd, Brooke, Margaret, Babanich? I said her name wrong the first time, and Cindy Hall.
Yeah, that I believe that this is Judd who is going to vote against his old tribe. And then Margaret is going to be pretty salty about it.
You think Margaret was salty and Judd flipped? Rob, man, you are correct, man.
Yeah. And that's why she tells him that you have ADD.
Yeah, she did say that. And I
think she said that actually earlier, but then it comes up very soon after.
Yeah. And for getting that question right, you're not going to get eaten by a crocodile, man.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Don't be a scumbag. So, are we done talking about Survivor Guatemala pre-merge?
We are. Congratulations. Okay. You have gotten out of that Survivor Guatemala. You have 2 points. You are well on your way to winning this game. All you need is 4. And we have 4 more questions left.
Okay.
So, we are going to go to Survivor Samoa, Hungry for a Win. That's the name of the episode. October 8th, 2009, 7 years ago this Saturday. And this is actually a listener-submitted question. Nick Fishman, who's one of my brochachos.
Thank you, Nick.
Nick asks, what Survivor first occurred in this episode of Survivor Samoa? A, a do-it-yourself reward challenge.
Ooh.
B, a 6-1 vote. C, a kidnapped player gives an idle clue to the other tribe. D, 2 idols are found by different players in the same episode.
Okay. So I'd like to use one of my advantages here. Could I use the 50-50?
You can use the 50-50. I am going to get rid of 2 of your options. I'm going to get rid of the 6-1 vote. And I'm going to get rid of C, a kidnapped player gives an idle clue to the other tribe. So now your choices are A, a do-it-yourself reward challenge, and D, 2 idols are found by different players in the same episode.
See, I was kind of hoping you would leave C in there because I knew that that has happened previously to Survivor Samoa. So that it is 2 idols found in the same episode. I'm trying to remember if there's an idol found pre-merge at Galoo. I don't really remember if that's the case. I'm trying to think of who has an idol in the pre. I don't think anybody. Eric Cardona finds an idol over there. So, all right. And A is what?
the do-it-yourself reward challenge.
The do-it-yourself reward challenge. But I know that that does happen with the win the chickens in that season. So I know both of those things happen around this time in Survivor Samoa. So did Russell have an idol already at that point in time? I'll say it's the do-it-yourself reward challenge, and I'll say that Russell already found his idol.
All right, so Rob, so Eric Cardona did find an idol in this episode, but nobody else did. You are correct. It is the do-it-yourself reward challenge. It's the island bocce ball, and they did win the chickens. And that segues very nicely into our next question, which if you get this right, you actually win the game very early in the rounds.
Oh!
So question number four. In the words of the great Dave Ball, who got clotheslined by the clothesline while chasing after the escaped chicken? Mm-hmm. A, Brett Closer, who is not Mike Tyson.
No.
B, John the Finchler Fincher. C, Russell Swan. Or D, Eric Cardona.
I believe it's the aforementioned Eric Cardona.
Rob, you have won the game. Congratulations.
Too easy.
You are 4-for-4. Yes, pretty easy question.
Too easy this week.
Yeah, it's a little bit easy, but that's all right. Sometimes you need a win. I'm being nice to you after the Mets lost last night and after the
Thank
Jets
you.
are 1-3, like my fantasy team.
Lick my wounds.
Yeah, exactly. But you do have two more questions, Rob, and you okay. have one more from Samoa, and then we're going to span the seasons and talk about some different seasons in Survivor history. The last question for Samoa.
I haven't shut you out yet this season.
No, you haven't. You haven't shut me out, and I haven't shut you out, so we're even there.
Okay.
After Shambo returned from the ocean after attempting to fish with the Hawaiian sling, she came back with good news and bad news.
Yes.
What was the news she reported to her tribe? A, bad news. She didn't catch enough fish for the whole tribe. Good news, at least she finally caught something. B, bad news. She only caught puffer fish, which are poisonous. Good news, she brought back clams from the rocks. C, bad news. She didn't catch any fish and lost the snorkel mouthpiece. Good news, there are hundreds of thousands of fish in the reef. D, bad news. She totally had to bail on her boys when it was bowling night. Good news. JK, Shambro would never do that to her boys.
Now, that's a very famous scene, I feel like. And it is C. And Laura Moret does mock her for saying, like, oh, really, Shambo? There's fish in the ocean? Oh, great.
Yeah, great confessional by Laura after she says this. And it's a really, maybe my favorite Laura Moret
quote
in Survivor history.
Perhaps the greatest Laura Moret quote in all of Survivor. It's fantastic.
Maybe undoubtedly the greatest Laura Moret quote in Survivor history. Awesome confessional. She's just sitting on a tree and she's incredulous that Shambo could care about how many fish were in the ocean after she left the mouthpiece.
Yeah, okay.
And Rob, we have one more episode for you, and you might as well use your point doubler here. You haven't used it yet. You can get a 7 out of 6, which would be amazing.
All right.
So this is also from Nick Fishman. Of the following episodes that took place this week in Survivor history, which one did not include the finding of the hidden immunity idol?
Oh, come on.
Yes, a tough question. This is a tough one. This is the hardest one of the quiz. A, Survivor Gabon episode 2, found by Sugar Kuiper. B, Survivor Philippines episode 3, found by Abby Maria. C, Survivor Blood versus Water episode 3, Tyson Apostle. Or D, Survivor Cambodia episode 3, Jeremy Collins.
Okay. So I'm looking for the episode where somebody did not find the idol.
Yes, in 3 of these, an idol was found by the person I mentioned. In the one that is the correct answer, this person did find an idol that season, but did not find it in this episode.
I don't think Tyson found an idol that early. I'm pretty sure that Tyson does not find the idol until he switches over to... Is it Galong? And then Hayden basically tells him like the clue to the idol, and then he goes and finds it. And I don't even think that happens until basically around the merge. So I'm going to say that it is Tyson finding an idol. That doesn't happen until later.
Rob, you are correct. That is a perfect score this week. Maybe one of the easier quizzes we've had so far. There were some obscure questions.
Oh, come on. There's only been 3.
Hey, there's only been 3, but you did a very good job. This was probably the toughest question, and you got it. Tyson doesn't find the episode until later. We, of course, remember Jeremy found the idol during a challenge. Abby Maria found it with Pete Rowe, and Sugar found it when she got the clue instead of hanging out in the Sugar Shack. So great job, Rob. You get a score of 7 out of 6, which is the highest possible score this week. Really nice job. I hope the Jets can rub off on you.
Yes, I went the distance and I shut you out. I am like the Madison Bumgardner of Survivor Trivia.
I know. I think there should be a hashtag that I have to tweet out now, like hashtag Rob beat my quiz or something like that.
Yeah, we'll come up with it. We'll work on that for next week. All right, Jordan, great stuff. Once again, you could follow Jordan on Twitter. He is at Jordan Kalish, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep, talk to you next week. Looking forward to it.
All right, everybody, there you have it. This Week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish. So I'm going to start to get set for Aris to be coming into the studio very shortly after we get off of this recording. So be on the lookout for that. And then, of course, our voicemail feedback show coming up with Haley Strong. Get your voicemails in. rob@thewebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282. RHAP. One last thing before we jump off today. If any of you guys are out there looking for web hosting solutions or domain registration, check out our friends over at Inclusive Host. They host the website for robaswebsite.com and for post show recaps. The thing that I'm most impressed with at Inclusive Host is the customer service that I'm able to get over there, where I feel like when you're dealing with some of these big hosting companies, it's very hard to get a hold of anybody when you have an issue. That's not the case in my experience with dealing with Inclusive Host. They also have a discount for those of you guys who want to use our link through Rob Has a Podcast. Go to inclusivehost.com/RHAP and save 25% on your web hosting needs. Or you can click on the banner in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. And if you need any help, Chris over at Inclusive Host will help you out with that. All right. So looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments of Rob Has a Website.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.